Thank you for helping us make Budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Basically, the guys went nuts. They were so excited. They gave us a standing ovation. But then after the sex experiment had been going on for 3 or 4 days, we began to have incredible emails and response from the wives. So it's been very, very well received.
Throughout church history, we find that, the church has just been silent and it's been a taboo subject. We've heard a lot of don't, rather than how God says to do it.
Well, that's Pastor Ed Young Jr. and his wife appearing recently on CNN. You heard him use the term sex experiment. It's not only something they did last year. It's, well, a bit of a publicity stunt, I think, but it's actually turned into a book authored by Pastor Young and his wife. And that big church down in Texas where he's the pastor is going to do it again. 7 days of sex for its parishioners. Sex Experiment 2, I think, is a fair or redux. I mean, I don't know what you want to say. Sex Experiment 2. At this time, they're actually going to, add a little bit to the stunt quality of the publicity stunt by right before they launch their sex experiment week there at Ed Young Jr.'s church. He and his wife are going to camp out for a whole week on the roof of the church. No, he says no sex up on the roof, but they will sleep up on the roof of the church every night in advance of the sex experiment to sex experiment. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Why does these things keep coming back? That's what I want to know. It's Monday afternoon, January the 9th. We'll talk about another sex campaign launched by Ed Young Jr. of Faith Church in Dallas, Texas. Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will be our guest. A little bit later in this first hour, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus calling Philip and Nathaniel from John's Gospel, the first chapter. In the second hour of the program, because the church has begun its celebration of the Epiphany season, celebrating Epiphany Friday before the weekend and the season last year for several weeks, we're going to talk about the wise men from Matthew's Gospel. Dr. Paul Meyer, Professor Emeritus of Ancient History at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, will be our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Your thoughts, your reaction to Ed Young Jr.'s Sex Experiment 2. With Chris Roseborough, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or leave your reaction to Ed Young Jr.'s sex experiment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Why is this happening again?
They got a book deal. And the reason why they have the publicity stunt going on is because they are in a fierce competition right now for book sales with another seeker-driven pastor by the name of Mark Driscoll, whose book Real Marriage, which covers the same topic as Ed Young's, albeit from a slightly different angle, or at least as far as the techniques recommended. His book hit the shelves first and has been garnering all of the internet attention. And so Ed Young, he owns a private jet, and he's going to have a difficult time buying jet fuel if he doesn't sell a lot of books. So he had to come up with a way to top himself so that he could sell more books.
You use the term top himself, which doesn't apply only to Ed Young Jr. He may be one of those guys who does it regularly or attempts to do it regularly, but it seems to be kind of the modus operandi for pop American evangelicalism.
Yeah, and that's generally how it goes with human nature, isn't it? It's our sinful human flesh has, when you start feeding it, it has a continual growing appetite, and what got it excited yesterday isn't going to do the trick tomorrow, so you've got to go farther down the trail of debauchery and fleshly desires in order to keep the same level of excitement.
What is driving this in particular? We hear Ed Young Jr.'s wife say, as he said many times when he did Sex Experiment 1 last year, that the church has never addressed this issue. The church has been silent on the issue of sex in marriage. Is that true?
Not even close. Phil Johnson of the Pyromaniacs blog has a great blog post talking about this, and he lays out the history. You know, ever since he's been a Christian, going back to the early 70s, there have been Christian sex manuals, and that there's even been critics of Christianity who've noted the trend, that going back for the last 40 years, and they've even coined a phrase for it. And this phrase was actually coined in the 70s, and they call it fundies in their undies. And so this idea that Christians in the church don't talk about sex and it's a taboo topic, that is just a farce. It's absolutely patently false and historically easy to prove wrong.
Why is it, is it just people, kind of later baby boomers, married, don't want to put any, wrong motives there, kind of the Cialis, the blue pill generation? Is that what's going on here?
No, I think it's something a little bit different than that. And basically what it boils down to is, theologically, is the distinction between the two religions that Luther pointed out. That there's only two religions in the whole world. There's one religion that tells you all of the things that you have to do. They've all got lists, And then you've got the biblical Christianity that teaches you what your Savior has done for you. American evangelicalism has jumped the biblical tracks. And what's happened is that they've replaced Jesus Christ with Maslow's hierarchy of needs and made it all about me. And that's the thing. The two religions, the one is about Christ and the other is about me and what I've got to do. And so they're redefining what Christian sanctification looks like in light of, kind of a new hip way of looking at things and thinking that somehow Christianity is about meeting people's felt needs or making a difference in their lives. Now, granted, there's a lot of people out there with difficult marriages. Marriage is not an easy thing. It's a very difficult thing. And marriage has a way of bringing out our weaknesses in such a way that we either rise to the challenge in order to keep our marriages going, or we stay selfish, flounder, and the marriage fails. That's generally how it goes. And so what they're trying to do is reach people supposedly for Christ by giving them tips to help them in their everyday life. The problem is that this is like the ultimate example of mission creep. The Great Commission laid out by Jesus Christ has nothing to do with teaching anybody, believers or unbelievers, how to have more satisfying sex. That's not what biblical Christianity is about. That's not what discipleship is about. And hot sex is not one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
But if you listen to Ed Young Jr., you would think it is. He even talks about sex being the superglue that holds a marriage together. He seems to elevate it almost to the level, well, frankly, of a sacrament for husbands and wives.
Yeah, excuse me for using this example, but there is examples in history where sex has been used as a sacrament, and it's always been outside of Judeo-Christianity. It's always been in the pagan religions, where you can have a religious experience by paying the proper offering at a particular religious temple, where you would then be paired up with one of the temple prostitutes. It doesn't matter if it was a male or female or a boy or a girl, and you can have a religious experience. And yeah, sex has been considered a sacrament in pagan religions, but never in Christianity.
So when we hear them talk about the essential role of sex in marriage, have they replaced something biblical about marriage with sex in marriage? In other words, if something holds marriage together, if it isn't sex, as Ed Young Jr. says it is, Mm-hmm. What does the Bible say it is?
I would point people to, like, the book of Ephesians, where the topic of marital relationships is brought up. But it's important to note that as you read through the book of Ephesians, the topic of marriage doesn't come up until the second half of the letter. And it's not until the Apostle Paul clearly and unequivocally proclaims the biblical gospel of Christ and Him crucified for our sins and salvation by grace alone through faith alone by Christ's work alone. See, the idea is that in Christian marriage, sex isn't the glue that holds it together. Believe it or not, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Christ and Him crucified for our sins. Because in marriage, then when we approach it in light of the gospel, we come to our spouse with the idea that we're sinners forgiven by Christ's shed blood on the cross, and now I am set free to love and serve you and to forgive you your many sins that you will transgress against me in our marriage and the many sins I will transgress against you. The gospel is the glue that holds a Christian marriage together, not sex. I mean, Ed Young has replaced Christ with the libido.
Well, when we come back, there's another aspect to this sexperiment, too, that Ed Young Jr. is calling for down at his big church in Dallas, Texas, Faith Church, that I find rather remarkable. They talk about how 7 days, the plan is 7 days sex every day for the married couples, and they say that this builds intimacy, this gives insight. In Ed Young Jr.'s words, the lights go on and you discover new things about yourself and your marriage. And it sounds a little bit like if you just do it, then your marriage will get better. It's a little bit ex opera operato. I'll explain that term on the other side of the break. An old idea rejected in the Reformation. We'll be right back.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received Him, who believed in His name, the Gospel of John says, He gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues, Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
I think the role of sex in a Christian marriage is the super glue that holds it together. The only relationship on planet Earth that's analogous to God's relationship to His people is marriage. So we feel like what happens inside the bedroom affects what happens outside the bedroom. What happens outside the bedroom affects what happens inside the bedroom. So when you have the freedom and the joy in a mutually satisfying sexual relationship, when you see it from God's perspective, I think the lights come on and you discover your destiny as husband and wife.
That's Ed Young Jr. of Faith Church in Dallas for the second year running, calling for a sex experiment, 7 days of sex for his parishioners. And of course, he's got a book of the same title out. We're talking about it with Chris Roseborough. He has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he hosts the daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, it sounds a little bit to me like if you just do this 7 days running, it will, in the actual doing of the deed, so to speak, result in a stronger marriage, greater intimacy, as he says, new insights, the lights going on. It sounds so very much like the old medieval notion of how the sacraments were supposed to work. Just in the doing of the doer, apart from faith, the sacraments would affect something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, this is overly simplistic. I mean, if this is true, then every single marriage would succeed. Has he ever heard of a honeymoon? I mean, this is one of those buyer beware things. If you believe these claims, then I've got a bridge I'd like to sell you in New York. I promise I will make a good deal. It'll only cost you a few million, and it's a great deal. It's a beautiful Gothic architecture. I mean, this is absurd. This is absolutely absurd, and it flies in the face of what the Bible teaches. And what the Bible teaches is literally sacrificial marriage. The idea that husbands love their wives the way Christ loved the church. Intimacy in marriage is not a result of a physical act. The physical act is the fruit of an intimate marriage. He's got it 180 degrees backwards. And the worst part is that he's blaming God for his bad idea.
A question from Laura in Emmett, Michigan. First, says, excited to have the Android app so I can tune in right to you. Reminder is excellent. Second, sex experiment? Are they kidding? A good Christian man doing what God directs, like head of the household, makes that more than a stupid / heretical, is my choice of the word. As they say on Twitter, fail. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, she's right. I mean, the reality is this is shameful. It's lurid, it's exhibitionist, there's no propriety to this. And the reality is that the entire history of the church, sex has been handled with propriety as a delicate matter. As even Paul says in Ephesians 5, regarding sexual sins, there's certain things that we ought not to talk about because it's shameful to even talk about them. But Ed Young comes along, and his treatment of it is sensationalistic. His treatment of it is if you want to handle this delicately, you're some kind of a rube. And what this does is give the church a black eye, and really makes us the laughingstock of non-Christians. This doesn't help promote Christianity or repentance and the forgiveness of sins or help us preach Christ and Him crucified. This is a complete distraction, and it's done in the worst taste, in the worst possible way, in the most salacious of manners. This Ed Young needs to be rebuked and called to repentance. And what's really sad is evangelical leaders are pretty much, for the most part, sitting by silently saying nothing. Their absence of comment on this shamefulness is deafening at this point.
Haley says, I don't think that the church should be timid about teaching the proper use of sex and the particular joys of married life. Certainly the Bible is not silent on the issue, and neither were the church fathers, including Luther. But I do think that this pastor's take on the matter leaves something to be desired. Aside from the fact that he mentioned God a few times, I would not have known that he wanted to address sex from a Christian perspective. I certainly got no indication of how precisely the gospel or the law could be found in his admonition to his congregation or this experiment, and his implication that sex has its primary purpose for its own sake within marriage or intimacy between husband and wife is not necessarily the message that I find in Scripture or the historic writings. Address those concerns, if you would.
No, I think she said it very well, and she's absolutely right. This is the scriptures don't teach, the church is not historically taught, that intimacy is achieved just by doing the act. And in fact, it's quite the opposite. Intercourse itself, and you know, and a good, healthy sex life in marriage is the fruit of intimacy, not the cause of it. And there's so many things wrong with this. It's just aggravating to think that that American evangelicalism, a place where you used to be able to so clearly hear Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and sound biblical exegesis, I mean, and at least some concept of law and gospel, has, because of its growing epidemic of biblical illiteracy, and its pursuit of pragmatism and belief that somehow God's favor is divined by whether or not your church is growing by leaps and bounds, has stooped to this level. This is just a day to mourn and reflect at just how bad American evangelicalism has become.
Benjamin in Indiana says, sex is the superglue that holds marriage together. What they leave out is those who are unable. And it's just like the religion of the world to promote only those who are able. What about the marriage that is dealing with disease or disability? Are those marriages worth less? Marriage is marriage no matter what. Sex is only the fruit of marriage. Never was it given as a requirement. What do you think of Benjamin's thoughts there?
I want to just say amen. Absolutely. I mean, what is this message that Ed Young is preaching in this book and in his promotions of this book? What is it saying to, you know, our senior Christians, you know, Christians who long ago have lost the ability to physically be able to do the deed? Are they now somehow less holy, or is their marriage less intimate because they can't do this? Of course not. I mean, to define marriage in such a narrow and shallow physical way is to miss the whole point of it completely.
Ian in Winter Haven, Florida says, I said it then, I'll say it again. The guy, namely Ed Young Jr., is talking to his church to talk to his wife. Very simplistic approach to marriage, certainly from a man's point of view, who simply wants more sex. That was my first reaction, honestly, when I heard about this last year, was this is a guy who's basically trying to tell his wife something.
I don't know Ed Young well enough to be able to make a comment along those lines. I mean, it's a theory. We'll just leave it at that.
What about the fact that I watched a fair amount of the first sex experiment? There was the big four-poster bed on the stage. There was a velvet rope around the bed. There was lots of sitting on the bed and talking back and forth, Ed Young and his wife. Very little Bible. A lot of kind of personal anecdote, but very little Bible, maybe for a good reason, because there is very little Bible to support this experiment.
Yeah, but that's never stopped a good evangelical pastor from preaching a relevant life message. One of the things when we were coming out of the break that he said that you're going to kickstart your marriage and you and your wife are going to discover your destiny as a married couple. That is the new gospel in the secret-driven movement and American evangelicalism. The gospel is that God has this incredible destiny that He wants to reveal to you, but you need to get on board with Him and become a Jesus follower so you can learn the principles that God wants you to live by, and then when that happens, God will reveal to you this great destiny that He's promised you. And it's a very this earthly life kind of thing. And so that language was all part of the promotion that you heard there. And a spicy sex life is all supposedly part of the package deal of salvation. Now make a decision for Jesus Christ, you'll get a destiny and spicy sex on top of it. It's a great package deal, and if you act now, we'll even throw in a free set of Ginsu knives.
A couple of questions from our listeners, and then one final one from me, Chris, on this subject from Daniel in Lincoln, Nebraska. Sends this question via the Issues Etc. iPhone app. Marriage is the only relationship in the Bible used as an analogy for the relationship between God and His people. That was a statement made by Ed Young Jr. He asks, what about father and child, king and subject, judge and accused? I'm sure there are many more. He's throwing out much of the Bible by claiming this. What are your thoughts?
No, he is. And the thing is that many times in trying to describe our relationship with God as Christians or as the people of God in this church, God needs to use things that in our own everyday experience that we understand as a means of a metaphor or analogy to help unpack his love and relationship to us. And marriage is one of the metaphors, one of the analogies used in Scripture, and it's a beautiful one. But it's also important to note that in the prophets, that in the Old Testament prophets, when Israel, the people of Israel, started chasing after other gods and abandoning the one true God, God likened them to an unfaithful wife and at times even likened his people to being whores. And so there's other sexual analogies in Scripture. And Ed Young is basically cherry-picking passages and making half-statements and misstatements about God and his relationship to us, because it's really ultimately not about God's word being properly and correctly taught. It's really about getting people into church and selling books. At least that's the case with Ed Young.
Daniel in Iowa City, Iowa, says, according to Mr. Young's perspective, wouldn't this experiment mean that a single person wouldn't know how to understand God's love? I'm just wondering how I would feel if I weren't married and able to relate in the slightest bit to this topic.
Look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, chances are he wasn't married. This was a man who was celibate most of his life. Are we to say that he's a second class or second rate Christian as a result of it? Absolutely not. Our standing before God has nothing to do with whether we're married or not married, whether we drink or don't drink, or anything of the sort. Our relationship with God was won by Christ's blood on the cross, and our right standing with him has nothing to do with what we do or don't do, but it has everything to do with what Christ has done. And that's the message that gets lost in all of this, a clear and clarion call to sinners to repent and be forgiven and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, whether they're married, single, divorced, or in an unhappy marriage or a happy marriage. It doesn't matter. Christ died for them too.
A quick final question for you then, Chris. It seems what Ed Young is calling for with this 7-day sex experiment is that his people essentially seek an experience, and thereby from this experience somehow gain a closer relationship with one another or a closer relationship with God. What's wrong with that?
Well, it somehow takes the physical act and turns it into some kind of a mystical religious act, that actually begins to start to sound like a sacrament, and there is no sacrament like that in Scripture laid out. This is purely the inventions of a very innovative mind, a man whose mind is not held captive by the Word of God, but instead he's got his own ideas and he goes to God's Word to proof text his ideas, and as a result of it he's come up with some very bad mystical spiritual ideas that are not grounded in Scripture, but in a very real way blaspheme God's name, not just because of the lurid nature of what he says, but because he's attributing things to God that God has not revealed or said regarding sex, and that is a dangerous spot for any person to be in, especially a pastor.
Chris, what are you going to be talking about later today on Fighting for the Faith?
We're going to be talking about this, Joel Osteen, and a guy by the name of Keith Kraft, who recently preached at Joel Osteen's church.
You can listen for Fighting for the Faith today, right after the broadcast of Issues, Etc. at PyroChristianRadio.com. Chris Roseborough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and is host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Deaconess Pam Nielsen in John chapter 1, talking about Jesus calling some of the first disciples, Philip and Nathaniel. It's an interesting story in the telling. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be with us right after this.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues, Etc. Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. business card, and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.